Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland. So thank you for coming back to the channel, commenting on the first anniversary of the Israel-Hamas war, or the 7th of October attacks. So some Israeli soldiers have been eerily quiet in the days leading up to this. They'd noticed curious activity from their watchtowers looking into the Palestinian enclave of Gaza. What was going on appeared to be training something for something. And Hamas had communicated by handwritten notes because they knew that the Israelis were the masters of cracking any encrypted messaging system, the best in the world, I've heard from an IT expert. So they just went back to old style tech. And then Hamas stopped all their activity to lull the Israelis into a false sense of security. But some Israeli soldiers noticed there was something a bit wrong about that. Anyway, and their concerns would pass up the chain of command, and these things were just dismissed. But about 6:30 in the morning, that's when the attacks began, Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, as they call it. 5,000 rockets fired from the Gaza Strip into the State of Israel within only 20 minutes to overwhelm the Iron Dome or the David Sling system. So they only caused five deaths, but then Hamas's Islamic Resistance Movement, that's what it's, Hamas is the acronym for it. They crossed over the border, they broke through the fence in many places. It's supposed to be impenetrable around Gedera, Herzliya, Tel Aviv and Ashkelon. Some of them even used paragliders and motorbikes to get in. So about 3,000 Hamas fighters infiltrated Israel. They'd used bulldozers, even speedboats to get around by sea. And so they killed civilians at many points, often deliberately, including at a concert in various kibbutzim. A kibbutz is like a commune. And in the early 20th century, Jews had made aliyah to British Mandatory Palestine, or previously Ottoman Palestine, had often set these up. Farming, sharing everything, often idealistic socialists. It's not quite like that anymore. It's not as austere aesthetic as it used to be. Sorry, ascetic as it used to be. But an awful lot of people were killed, indeed deliberately killing children in some cases, and indeed taking hostages, bringing them back to Gaza. About 240 people taken hostage in the attacks. Not all of them were Israeli. Some were Thai people working in Israel. Some of the Israelis were dual citizens, like Russian Israelis, and Putin managed to have them released fairly early on. There are accusations of rape against Hamas when they kidnapped these people, and may well be true. Anyway, that's it. So Hamas said it was doing this because of these illegal Israeli settlements in the West Bank, increasing Israeli violence towards Palestinian civilians in the West Bank of Palestine. More incidents on Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, or as Muslims prefer to call it, Al-Quds. And so Israel was stunned by this. Some of the bases were very lightly and laxly guarded. Hamas had managed to get into several military bases. A lot of soldiers hadn't even been issued with weapons there. Hamas even managed to capture at least one tank. But that was it. They didn't really have a phase two. It was a coup de main attack, not to go further. Now, in a conventional battle, there's just no way Hamas is going to win. They've got no tanks, no armored personnel carriers, no artillery, no infantry fighting vehicles, no planes, no helicopters. They do have some rockets and missiles. Life in Gaza has been not too bad for quite a few years. Israelis largely left them alone since 2009. Israel had allowed Qatar to donate money to them. They purchased various items, and things were getting better. And the deal that Israel seemed to be offering is, you know, you leave us alone, we'll leave you alone, and you'll have a decent standard of living. But if you cause trouble, there'll be hell to pay. We'll cut off water, gas, electricity, and so on. And as we'll see, we will murder 40,000 of your civilians, and they're not finished yet. So I knew the Israeli response was going to be very substantial. It was going to go on for several months, but I'm surprised it's going on for over a year, and there's not much of an end in sight. I mean, Israel has scaled back its full-scale invasion of Gaza. There's some of the reservists, they want to go back to their ordinary jobs. They're more concerned about other threats. Israel's commenced its full-scale invasion of Lebanon, and it's obviously in this proxy war against Iran, so it's husbanding some reserves. Now, Netanyahu has had the unwisdom to say they will win a total victory, which is almost impossible against an insurgent force like this. If there's even one Hamas militant alive. So that's not a total victory. If they fire even one shot and doesn't hit anybody, that's still not a total victory. Because unlike a conventional army, these organizations are very, very difficult to defeat comprehensively. It's like they used to say in the Northern Ireland conflict, an acceptable level of violence. Many people designate Hamas a terrorist organization. Okay, you could say that. Obviously, it's adulated through much of the Muslim world. Many people regard them as freedom fighters. You could use a more neutral term like militant, as indeed I have. Anyway, it was Israel's 9/11. Benjamin Netanyahu supposedly missed a security. He was prime minister at the time. And so it was a real humiliation for him, a real wake-up call. They've been caught napping. You snooze, you lose. Okay, all those people killed at the Reim Music Festival. And then obviously that's when the Israeli Defense Force, IDF, summoned up its reserves and they began their counterattack. And they formulated some sort of plan, blockading Gaza, the Israeli Air Force carrying out airstrikes against what they thought were Hamas bases and so on. Hamas built very extensive tunnels all under Gaza. Okay. So this total blockade of Gaza is a war crime, of course. Israel's also used white phosphorus munitions, which again is a material breach of international law, and on and on. And so the so-called new anti-Semitism, according to the ultra-Zionists, is anything which stands in the way of genocide against Palestinians is anti-Semitic. International law is anti-Semitic. Humanitarian law is anti-Semitic. The European Union is anti-Semitic. The United Nations is anti-Semitic. Human Rights Watch is anti-Semitic. Médecins Sans Frontières is anti-Semitic. Amnesty International is anti-Semitic. A lot of Israelis, Jews, are anti-Semitic. Anyone who says, no, Palestinians are human rights, are human beings too, and you can fight, okay, you can kill Hamas militants, but no, you can't deliberately kill civilians, which has happened again and again and again. These precision weapons. So when the IDF kills civilians, they're doing it on purpose. And they say Hamas are using human shields, which might be true occasionally. I don't think it's true in every single case. And why would Hamas do that? Because it clearly doesn't work. It clearly doesn't give them any pause for thought. They go right ahead and kill civilians anyway. So Israel's told civilians to move to this way, to place, to that place. Some people are disabled. There's virtually no public transport. They're carrying babies. They're elderly. They're heavily gravid women and so on. So it's really impossible to stay out of harm's way. And world leaders like Joe Biden or Rishi Sunak were queuing up to fly to Israel and meet Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who is wearing a black shirt. But actually, it worked quite well for him. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't think he planned this or wanted this to happen, because it's kicked down the road the various trials that he's facing, and it's managed to him to prolong his time in office. Such a man of raging vanity, an egomaniac, and he glories in the slaughter of the Palestinian people. So it really is dispiriting and sick-making. I mean, imagine being trapped in Gaza, you know, when the water, electricity, gas was cut off, and then Israel's finally allowed in some aid convoys, but some Israeli bigots have stopped the trucks, beaten up the drivers, deliberately destroyed the food. So, and there's a severe shortage of medical equipment, a paucity of medicine, very few people allowed out. Some people who are foreign citizens were allowed out. Palestinian dual citizens have been allowed out. I'm extremely proud as an Irishman, the Republic of Ireland, we've taken some very sick Palestinian children to treat, which is much better. I'd like us to see, take what we can, take a few thousand Palestinian civilians as refugees. United Kingdom, likewise. I know Palestine is not very close to the UK or the Irish Republic, but nevertheless, you know, some humanitarianism, 2.5 million people in Gaza. You know, the UK could take maybe 1% of that, Republic of Ireland, maybe 0.1% of that, something, and maybe get other people to save others. So it really is horrendous. So I would like peace and security for Palestine and Israel. I would like justice as well, but I fear it's a forlorn hope. It's a very cruel and unjust world, and evil so often triumphs. There we are. Well, what do we learn from this? I mean, really, there's no end in sight. It looks like, I mean, Israel's going to very successful phase one in Lebanon. I don't think they'll be so foolish to try and stay in Lebanon too long, probably several weeks. And looks like major attacks against Iran. And it doesn't look like Iran has a way of hitting back. But this is not over. Iran will rebuild its strength and in some years will find a way to hit Israel back. So sadly, I think the conflict is going to go on indefinitely. Thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe. And make sure you donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. And thank you for the recent donations. Goodbye.